Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
But first, we have a treat for you, my first guest today. So she's fundamentally an actress, and you know her for everything from Scorsese's Age of Innocence to the Harry Potter films. She's also a documentary maker, she's a writer. But in a funny way, she's become best known in recent years for just being herself, really. And in fact, she's probably regarded as the best chat show guest in the world right now. Maria Margulies, good morning.
Oh, hello. What a lovely thing to say. Thank you, Brendan.
Well, it's so true, and you're so welcome to the show. How are you, Miriam?
I'm 83 and I'm still alive, so you could say I'm very well.
Okay. Listen, before we get down to business, just on what I was saying there, has it been nice in what we might call the autumn of your life to become known and so beloved, kind of primarily for being yourself?
Yes, of course. It's kind of bewildering. I can't quite make it out. And I owe an awful lot to Graham, of course. I mean, it's just extraordinary. So I'm just astonished and very happy about it.
So, and when you say Graham, you mean Graham Norton?
I do. He's the man for me.
Maria Margulies, were you trying on an Irish accent into an Irish audience there? Go on, go again. Go again.
No,
we judge it properly.
I'm nervous. You've made me nervous now.
Okay, I've made you self-conscious now. Okay,
I cope with the responsibility.
Okay, I'm going to get you back around there before the end of this chat. I'll do it when you're not expecting it. What do you think it is why people like you so much? I suppose is it your honesty?
I don't know. I think it is. I think that's a lot to do with it, because I do say what I think, not to hurt people, not honestly to offend, but just because I feel that there's so little truth around in the world at the moment, especially from our high-ups, the politicians. You know, and they're so crooked, they should be screwed into their seats. That's what I think. And I'm not happy about that. So I just tell it like it is. I think that's the thing.
Yeah. No, you say politicians, but you're also doing it in the milieu of what we might call celebrity and show business and everything. Do you find that are most of the other showbiz people as well, like, not being really honest or authentic most of the time? Are they all bull-you-know-whatting?
No, I don't think it's that. I think that, you know, I've never been a celebrity, so I don't completely know what that is like. But I think they have to be guarded. You know, they're protecting their private lives. And I don't protect my private life. My private life is my public life. So I just talk about everything and I'm not afraid. But I think if you've got something to lose, it makes people a bit nervous. So they don't speak out about, you know, what they think about the world. And I've just always been like this. It's not that it suddenly happened. I've always been like this. And I suppose now I'm allowed to be like this. It's okay.
Is that age? Wasn't.
I think it's probably age, yes. And, I you know, I am incredibly charming. And so people like me.
Yes, yes. Because, you see, there's a fine line, isn't there, between honest and rude. But you straddle that line so well.
I'm a great straddler, Brendan.
And you do use as well rude language on occasion, right? And this is not in any way an invitation for you to use some, but you use it with a certain precision, don't you? I think it's almost an art with you, isn't it?
I'm not afraid of bad language, and sometimes it seems to be the only language that is appropriate. But I certainly don't think that I should use it in the morning on the radio and upset people's breakfasts. And when I did it once on the BBC, I was terribly upset about it, but I didn't know the mics were up then, so
what
I let
happened?
Something up. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say the words, but I referred to Jeremy Hunt, the then Minister of Health, I think he still is the Minister of Health, in a rather unflattering way. And I didn't realise that the mic was still up from my conversation previously, and it upset me terribly. But the producers were very forgiving. and they sent me a bouquet of flowers, actually, and said that it had probably done the programme good. I don't know. But, you know, it's not to be encouraged. It shouldn't. You shouldn't say the F word every 5 minutes. And men do. They're very lazy about the F word. I'm not lazy about it. I use it when I mean it.
Yes, and with cut glass kind of pronunciation and diction as well, which gives it a certain power as well, doesn't it?
Well, my posh voice is a damn nuisance, actually, because I think it can cut me off from just people I want to talk to and be with. And I don't speak like this because I feel posh. I speak like this because I was born in Oxford and everybody spoke like that at my school. And the few of my school friends who are still alive, if you meet them now, they all sound like me, because that's how we talked, you know, 60, 70 years ago. But it's not good. So as I always say when I'm explaining about this to people, if I want to use the loo in the street, I mean, if I want to go to a house and say, can I use your loo? Because I get taken short quite often. I've got poor pelvic floor muscles. I always put on a Scottish accent. And I always say, excuse me, I'm really desperate to go to the loo. Is it all right? Can I come in your place? Would you mind? And I think it's more attractive than saying, could I use your lavatory? Would you mind? I just think it's friendlier.
Yeah. And are people generally, will they let you in? Are they okay with it?
Oh, yes. I mean, you'd have to be an absolute bumhole to stop letting someone go to the loo. I mean, I've once been refused and I just picked up my skirts and urinated on the floor. I mean, I wasn't going to have that.
Okay. You might have started something there, no? Because I'm sure there are a lot of women of a certain age going around the place all the time thinking, I wish I could just call in there. So you find if you ask, they will let you come.
If you're polite and ask, and if you're not going to make a mess on the floor and, you know, make sure it's spotless when you leave, it's fine. I would never deny somebody going to the loo in my house. I think it would be appalling to do that. Don't you, honestly?
Absolutely. To be honest, it's not a conversation I expected to be having this morning. But now that I think of it, yes, it would be very mean. So listen, you're coming to Cork in a few weeks to the West Cork Literary Festival.
No. Oh, I'm thrilled about it. I'm absolutely thrilled. I was last in Cork, I think it was in 1963, when I hitchhiked round Ireland after university with my friend Sophie. And I loved Cork. I just loved it, and I loved all that coastline, and I went to Sherkin Island and Skibbereen. It's just a gorgeous place. And so to be at a literary festival with the people of the world who have the best way with words, you know, the Irish are the great English writers. They are the writers that one looks up to. Shaw and Sheridan and Wilde and Colm Tobin, you know, these are the great writers.
You're very good at this, aren't you? You are very charming. A lot of people come on and say that kind of stuff and nobody's believing them. But like people are believing you've really read the books and you really think this. And listen,
I really do think it, and I have read all the books. And I love the way the Irish use the words. They know, don't you have the word for it? You call it the crack, don't you? I mean, when we say crack, we lesbians, we mean something quite different. But when you say it, the crack, you know, it's about the talk. It's about the use of words. It's about the conversation. And that's, for me, the thrill.
And will you call into Graham Norton when you're down in West Cork? Or how does that work? Do you know him off air?
I do know him a bit off air, but I would never call on him unless he'd invited me. He's invited me to his home in London, and I loved being there, and that was fun. But I wouldn't go, you know, just like that. I think that's rude. I don't like people popping in on me, and I would never pop in. And I'm not even sure he's in Ireland at the moment, but if he says come, I'd come, you know, because he's the king for me.
Unless if you're in the Ahaghista area and you get caught short, you might need to knock on his door.
Well, I'd knock on anyone's door if I got caught short. I might knock on your door, Brendan.
And listen, you have said that if you could live anywhere, it would be Ireland or Italy. Do you really mean that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I love Italy. Heather, my partner and I, my partner of 57 years, by the way, we have this lovely house in Ireland, in Italy. I bought a house in Italy. And I wish I had bought a house in Ireland, but I haven't. But I guess I can rent one. And I've got lovely friends in Donegal, and that's the most beautiful part of the world. And what was her name? You know, the lovely writer who used to talk like that. It was always breathless. And Maeve Binchy. Yes, she was a great pal, but she's gone.
Was she? Yeah.
You know, that's the bloody nuisance of being old, that all your friends die, and I can't bear it.
So you and Heather have been together for 57 years.
We have.
Am I right in thinking you've never lived together?
We have very occasionally lived together for short periods. But she is an academic working in Holland and teaching in Dutch. And I'm an actress working, you know, in English because it's the only language I can speak. So we haven't lived together in the way that normally a married couple would. And we want to now. Now I want to. And bloody old Brexit has got in the way and stopped us. So I'm not sure what we're going to do.
So do you have problems staying in Italy now because of Brexit?
Ireland, I would.
Okay. Is it the secret to a good marriage?
I can't stay in our house.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say that I can't live in my house, which I bought and paid for, longer than 90 days in any 180, which is absolute nonsense. I mean, if this were later in the evening, I'd use different language, but it's awful. So I would love to have a house in Ireland, and you never know, I might get one. My neighbour across the road, Mari, she and Dan Jessel, they've got a place near Jeremy Irons and Sinead.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
In that part
near
of the
castle,
world.
The pink castle.
Yes. That's it. And God, I'd love to have something like that. That would be wonderful. I do really love the country, the look of it, the people, the culture. And I'm going to do my talk in Cork, in Bantry at the festival, with Senator Lynn Ruan, who I did a programme with on the radio about Lady Gregory. And she's a cracker. She's a fabulous woman.
She is.
And I didn't know about her at all before, but I think that she should be the Prime Minister of Ireland.
Okay, so I'm going to stray off politics now and go back to you and Heather. So do you think, is it the secret to a good marriage never to live together?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. No, no. Every couple has its own way of being together. And I wouldn't put my arrangements onto anybody else. But I think it's good to have a break from each other now and again. I don't mean a sexual break. I don't believe in adultery. I think it's a killer. You know, if your groin twitches, leave it alone and just try and keep your mind on higher things. But I do think it's useful to have a break from each other.
Yes. And it does make things a little bit more exciting when you see each other again then, doesn't it?
Oh, my word, it does. You know, we don't have sex anymore, but we cuddle and we talk and we look at each other and have such joy in that.
Really? And is that, do you miss it? Because you were enthusiastic about sex in your day, weren't you?
Oh, God, yes, of course. I mean, sex is a natural thing and everybody should be flailing about as much as possible. But I've just lost the knack, I think, now. I'm just not interested. I've got other things I want to do. I've done all the things I want to do in the bedroom. Now I want to get up and about. And, of course, I've got spinal stenosis, so I can't walk like I used to and I can't run and jump. So I don't think sex would be much fun with me anymore. But, you know, you never know. You never know. But all I want is to be with her.
Yeah. And does it happen naturally then that just it wanes? You don't mourn it or anything, do you? Because it was obviously an important part of your life. But is it just the natural way of things?
I can only tell you about my life, Brendan. Yeah. I don't know if it's the natural way, but that's how it was and is with me. I'm not so interested in it anymore. I want everybody to be flailing about as much as possible and have as much fun as possible and be as inventive and as generous as possible. But for me, the actual physical groin-on-groin is over.
Okay. I saw you say you
sound a bit depressed about that.
No, I'm. You know what? I'm taking the positive out of it, which is that we should all be doing as much of it as we can while we can. Is that that's your key message, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Live life to the full.
I did see you say you're more interested in money now. You know, most people write a book and they go, yes, this book was burning to get out of me. I had to write it. So your recent memoir, which is your second one, Oh, Miriam, it's very funny and it's full of wisdom. But you kind of say, yeah, I wrote it because they offered me an enormous amount of money.
Well, that's absolutely true. I wrote the first one because they offered me $250,000. And then they offered me another $250,000 to write the next one. And I thought, well, bumhole, I'm going to do that.
And listen, another big earner for you at the moment, I know, is Cameo. And what is Cameo and what do you do in it? It sounds as if this could be vaguely rude, but it's not. It's not OnlyFans or anything.
No. It's not rude at all. It's not like Grindr or Bender or whatever they call these websites. It's a website which is run from America. And people have... celebrities go on it, you know, people that are well known on television or to sports or something, and they invite people to get in touch with them on the website, and they say, I want you to leave a message for my sister. She's had an operation, or she's had a birthday, or she's getting married, and she's passed her exam. Would you send her a message? And so you invent a message out of your head and send it to them. It's a video, a little video.
So what kind of thing would you say to people? Do they want you to be rude?
Very often they say, could you fart? Because I'm known for passing wind. But what they don't understand is that when you pass wind, it's because it's been building and it's ready to go. But you can't just summon it from your bowels just because you're on the Cameo. That doesn't happen. So I just explain to people that if a fart happens, they're jolly lucky. And if it doesn't, you know, too bad. And they'll just have to do something else. But I just say nice things. Or sometimes it's more difficult because sometimes people are saying, you know, my sister's just had a terminal cancer diagnosis. Could you cheer her up? Now, that is hard. That's a hard thing to do because you can't be glib about life and death. You have to be very real and focused on the person. And it's hard because I don't know the person. I don't know where they are or, you know, what kind of a character they have or what they've done with their lives. I only know that they must be very scared and quite angry, possibly. And I must be supportive and kindly. And that's what I try to do.
So look, people might be surprised that you do Cameo, but actually you've always been quite pragmatic about work. And if some older gentlemen listeners are finding your voice strangely familiar, that might be because you were once the voice of someone called Sexy Sonia, weren't you?
Yes, I was. How naughty you are, Brendan, to pick up these little moments of my life, which I'm not particularly proud of. I did a sex tape, not a vision. It was totally audio. And it was what I call a take-home wanker's kit. It was for people to pleasure themselves.
Right. Okay. Okay. Got it. Right. I think we're going to leave that one alone. Let's go into safer ground. Did Sexy Sonia get you the gig as the Cadbury's Caramel Bunny then, which was, people will remember those ads, a kind of a languorous, sensual rabbit eating caramel?
I don't think that Sexy Sonia had anything to do with the rabbit, anything at all. That was sold in a very different kind of shop the Ann Summers sex shop. That was where Sexy Sonia had her home. But the voiceover for Cadbury's Caramel and for Mannequin Cigars, that was just a professional piece of work, because I can sound sexy. I don't know if I can now, but I remember that the beautiful girl whose voice I was overing, she was kind of dusky. And so she said, tobacco come from middle leaf best, make mannequin cigar special.
Oh my God. Mareem, you still have it. You still have it.
Well, I don't know where I put it, but as long as it's there.
And listen, what's the money for at this stage? I suppose sometimes when people have an insecure job like acting, they kind of crave financial security, maybe in old age. Is that it?
Oh, yes, of course, because I'm eventually going to have carers, or have to pay for a care home, or being in an old people's home or something. And you've got to have money for that. So that's what I'm saving up for. I don't spend it on myself, you know. I keep it. I keep it in, well, most of it's now.
Don't say where you keep it. An older lady should never say on the radio where she's keeping her money, I think.
Well, it's not in my knickers.
Okay. But listen, despite that, despite the loving the money and everything, you are still a socialist, more socialist, I think, as you go on. And of course, you have a general election in the UK next week. As you were alluding to earlier, I think you're very angry about UK politics right now, are you?
I think everybody is. If you visit England now, you see a very depressed and angry and disappointed nation. We've got a shower of hopeless politicians. They're all not, I can't say they're all corrupt, but certainly the Tories have been running us for 14 years. They're a load of nonsense. I mean, really appalling. And so I want to get them out. And yes, I am a socialist. I don't necessarily want to live with poor people, but I don't want anyone to be poor. I don't think it's right that I should be rich and other people should be poor. I'd rather level it out a bit. That's what I feel.
Okay.
And I'm not a snob, but I don't like noise. So if people are noisy, I don't want to live near them. I like a bit of peace.
Okay. Look, we could pick all kinds of holes in that philosophy there, but like, that's your truth. Kamir, what did you make of Joe Biden in the debate in the US? Did you see it?
I was very sad for him. I saw some of it. I wasn't able to watch all because I was abed. But I feel sad, and I feel very worried for America. It's in a terrible state. If they elect that orange turd, they're in trouble.
Okay. And like many people, you also have very strong feelings around what's happening in Palestine right now. How does that How does that chime with your Jewishness?
Brendan, I'm a human being. Before I'm a Jew or a woman or anything else, I'm a human being. And when you see what horrors have been perpetrated in Gaza over the last 70 years, and over Palestine generally, of course I feel ashamed and in sorrow for that nation. And the fact that it's my people who are doing it is shattering to me. I never stop thinking about it now. And I try to talk about it on every public occasion, because not all Jews think as Netanyahu thinks. Many Jewish people all over the world are appalled at what's being done there. It is utterly wrong. And that's why I speak out about it. It's not anything to do with being Jewish or not being Jewish. It's being a human being. And that's what I am.
Okay. Mareem, before we finish up, people would regard your life and your career as a huge success, and you've had a great career on stage, great career on screen, this wonderful renaissance in recent years, just as Mareem Margulies. I was very struck by something you said recently. You said, I didn't make it as an actress in the way I would have liked, and I think I could have. I think I have great talent, and I allowed myself to remain fat.
And that is all true. I think if I'd been slimmer and maybe taller, I would have had a more impressive career. But that, you can't choose everything. And I shouldn't be carping at what I haven't got. I've got to make the best of what I have. I've got a good, flexible voice. I've got a comedic sense. I've got an interest in people. And I think I've done pretty well on the whole. I haven't had the career I'd hoped I'd have, because like everybody else in the theatre, I would like to have been Judi Dench. She is a very great actress, and she has kept her humanity and her sense of fun. And I would have liked to have had the chance to do the sort of parts that she did with such elegance and beauty. But I didn't. And you can't look around and say, oh, poo, I'm a failure. I'm not a failure. I'm a success in the way that I'm a success. And I must be very grateful for it.
And you saying, I don't think I have great talent. I would have thought that you were a person who's full of confidence, but you doubt yourself, do you?
Oh, yes. I think all artists should doubt themselves. I actually think that I'm wrong in saying I don't have maybe great talent, but I do have talent. There's no question about that. I know that when I step on a stage, people want to look at me, and that'll have to do for the moment.
Yeah. I think it's nice for people to know that even people like you aren't just full of, you know, mindless confidence all the time. So how is your health? You mentioned it's spinal issues, is it? And you have a Coe's valve in your heart as well.
I do. They can do this wonderful operation, which means that you don't have to have open heart surgery. They can pull up a cow or a pig's heart. Now, I was given the option by my cardiologist, Dr. De Silva in the Royal Brompton, and he said, Do you want a cow's heart or a valve or a pig's one? And I said, well, I'm Jewish, so I'll go for a cow. And so I've got a cow's aortic valve, and that was done on May the 5th last year. And I'm still here. And it's meant that I can go on working and go on being active. And yes, I'm not as active as I was, but I'm not doing too badly. And I think it's a wonderful invention. So if people are worried about having open heart surgery, they should ask if they could have what's called a TAVI, T for Tommy, A-V-I, V for vagina, I.
This is incredible. We're getting cardiology advice as well. It's all in this today. You're good value. I can see why you're rated on the chat show circuit. You're great. You give a bit of everything. And listen, there is no sign of you slowing down. So West Cork on July 15th, you're going back to Edinburgh Festival with the show this year too.
I am, yes. I'm calling it Margulies and Dickens, The Best Bits. And Mr. Dickens has been the man in my life. I think he's a great writer. He wasn't Irish. He's the only one probably that wasn't. But he gives good value. And I've got the kind of excessive nature that fits well with the sort of creations that he invented. And he invented over 2,000 characters. So there was a lot to choose from. And it's a kind of swan song for me to do this show.
Is it?
So I'm very happy about it. Yes, I think so. I don't think I can confidently go on stage for much longer. Mind you, Dame Eileen and Dame Maggie and Dame Judy, yeah, they're still on doing it, aren't they? And Dame Sian Phillips. I'm not a dame, of course. I haven't been raised.
It's all coming out now. This is what's been on your mind the whole time, that you're not a dame.
That's your key point. God forbid. As long as I can get people to watch me, it doesn't matter what I'm called.
Well, listen, Miriam, people will be very sorry to think that you are winding things up a little bit, because they're texting in here and people do absolutely love you. Cannot stop laughing at this interview with Miriam, says one person. There's a woman called Laura here, Miriam. I'm sitting in my car listening to Miriam as I'm getting a smart meter fitted and the electricity is off in the house. You see, people have great detail. I'm beside myself with excitement to see Miriam is here in Bantry in a few weeks. And if Graham isn't around, she's more than welcome to spend a penny in my house. So there you go. Listen, I'd say you'll have plenty offers of toilets and Bantry in the broader West Cork region. And I think that your event is probably going to be absolutely sold out. Miriam, thank you so much. The book, Oh Miriam, Stories from an Extraordinary Life, is out now in paperback, published by John Murray. And you'll be at the West Cork Literary Festival, as we said, on Monday, July 15th at 8:30 p.m. in the Maritime Hotel in Bantry. More details on westcorkliteraryfestival.ie. By the way, before you go, very quickly, a few people asking about you and Maeve Binchy. Were you good friends?
Yes, I loved her. She was magnificent.
And how did you know her?
I knew her because she lived next door to Moira Armstrong, who was the director of The Girls of Slender Means. And that was one of the first successes I had on television. She's still alive. And Gordon, Maeve's husband, is still alive. And I loved her. Just to be in her company was like a glass of champagne.
Miriam Margulies, what a fantastic life, and it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.